Thank you, Pastor. Every year that I come, gravity is taking hold and I'm getting shorter. Or this pulpit is growing. I don't know which one it is. I think I am getting shorter. The other day, all of our family was together, and all of our 11 grandchildren were together. And of course, the little one, I think, is 7 or 8 years of age, and they're all getting taller. So my son, who's the carpenter and the builder, he had his measuring tape out and measuring everybody. Everybody wanted to see how tall they were. And then they said, "Papa, you come up here. Let's see how tall you are." And praise the Lord, I do have one grandchild that's still smaller than me. But that won't last very long. So I am so thrilled to be here. And Pastor Springer and I have been in communication about the meeting. And when it was canceled, today I was supposed to be, guess where? In Michigan. Well, if you know anything about Michigan, it's not a good place to be right now. So we thought when this first started, surely by the 17th of May, everything will be settled down. We'll be able to have the conference up in Michigan. And then Wednesday of next week, this week, I was scheduled to fly out of Cincinnati to Peru and be there for a week. Well, that all got canceled, and all of our meetings got canceled. So we've been at home watching all of the services. One Sunday morning, I watched 5 different services from Korea, watched my friend Brother Taylor in Korea, and other preachers, watched Brother Springer preach, and he did a fairly decent job. And at least he wasn't booted off at that time. He didn't say anything that would get him into trouble. And so our custom was that the church that we attend when we're in town up in Ohio starts at 10 o'clock. My sending church in Plantation, Florida starts at 10:30. So we start watching the church up there at 10. And Connie doesn't see real well with her macular degeneration, but I have a little table set in front of her chair, and I got the iPad there, and she listens to it, and we listen together. Then I go into my office to be at my church at Plantation. And so once we log on both of those places, they think that we're there watching them. And then Connie can go do what, and we can do whatever we want to after that. Take a nap or anything like that. It doesn't matter. But I did hear my pastor say, "I wonder if you that are out there, if you're all paying attention." And I thought to myself, he ought to say right now, right then, if you're paying attention, write amen. And he didn't think of that, but I would have thought of that to say, I want to know if you're all awake. But it has been a trying time, hasn't it? It's been, I will be honest with you. When this first started, at the very beginning, I really did. I felt myself being fearful. And I thought about that, and I was praying, and I said, "Lord, why am I so fearful with this?" And I just kept praying. I said, "Lord, we're to be concerned and we're to be careful and all of those things, and I think we ought to do that, but not fearful. I don't want to die. You don't want to die. We don't like pain and all of those things, but we absolutely know that to be absent from the body is to be where? To be present with God. So though we've never been to heaven, though we've never experienced it, though we've never seen it, felt it, or smelled it, or any of those things, we read the scriptures and we know that it exists. We know that our eyes, our minds cannot comprehend what God has in store and prepared for those that love Him. And it is going to be amazing. God, who created this earth out of nothing and made this beautiful place, do you think that he doesn't have something amazing prepared for us in heaven? Wow, for all eternity. So that's that blessed hope that you have and that I have. Now, the world doesn't have that. And that's why they live in such great fear and turmoil. For those of us who have traveled around the world and to other countries, especially third world countries, I think of Haiti, I think of places in Africa where we've been, places in Asia. I think of Myanmar, old Burma, and the persecution that they're going through. I have a good friend in the United Arab Emirates, and all of these, I've preached there in 5 different churches there. They're all Filipino churches. And almost every one of them are stuck in the United Arab Emirates with no money and no job. There's no welfare for them. And I'm in contact with them through Facebook, and I'm praying for them, and they are in grave turmoil and need. And I think, really, we don't have any problems. You know, we might, I don't know, has anybody thrown anything at your TV? Now, I don't mean a sock. Has anybody thrown a brick at your TV, any broken TVs? I've wanted to a few times. And Connie says, calm down, Steve. It's an inanimate object. It doesn't listen to you, but it makes me feel better. I just feel better. I wish I could talk to them just for a second. Like some of the... Steve, don't do that. Don't talk about that. You know, you're not allowed to have more than 2 people on a boat. And my wife is very wise. She sat there and she said, you can't have 2 people on a boat. When you're driving in the car, how many people are you allowed to have in the car? Well, does it even make sense? Some of it doesn't even make sense. But that's the world that we live in today. So what are you and I to do? Well, we're not to fear. We're to trust God. This is not my message. You might get 2 messages this morning in Sunday school. Turn with me to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 29. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 29, Jeremiah the prophet is giving Israel a message of hope. Now, when you read that book of Jeremiah, you find, wow, God's about ready to destroy Israel because of their rebellion, because of their sin, because of their pagan ways, going after other gods, and especially coming about because they had no fear of God. When Israel feared God, they sought the words of the prophet and God's words. But when they didn't fear God, they went their own way. And God spoke through Jeremiah, and he gave these words in verse 4, a message of hope. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captive, those that were carried away into Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar. Now about 7 years have gone by with Jeremiah here prophesying and telling Israel. And he says to them, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon, build ye houses. Now they're being carried away into Babylon, and everybody ought to be depressed and fearful and discouraged and just say, oh Lord, just like Jonah, and just kill us, God. We can't go on. Everything is just falling apart. We've been carried away into captivity. He said, build ye houses and dwell in them and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city. I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye caused to be dreamed. Dreams that ye have caused to be dreamed. There's a lot of people having fearful dreams because of what's taking place. That's not for the Christian. You and I are not to have dreams at nighttime thinking, oh, how horrible it is, and everything's just going to fall apart. And so even as bad as it was for Israel being carried away into captivity, God gives them hope. Now that's been all through history, and it hasn't stopped. Thank you, Pastor. Hebrews, it's still there. 10:25, that we still have that verse. God hadn't taken it out of the scripture. And all of this is profitable for our learning, for instruction of how to live our lives from here forward. But I'm afraid some have no hope. Where's Lindsay? Where is she? Lindsay and her fiance. I'm sorry, there's no hope. Don't make any plans for that wedding. You know, everything's just going to fall apart. Yeah. You walking down the aisle in a white gown. No, it just ain't going to happen. Everything's going to fall apart. You know, I mean, that's the attitude of some people. But not for them. Man, they got plans. And they're excited. I know some of you, it's hard for you to see this and to visualize this. But one day I was 20 years old and I stood down here and watched my bride come down the aisle and I was really excited. That was a long time ago. I do remember that. So there is that hope. Now, that was my first message. My second message this morning is here in the book of Luke, chapter 5. Turn with me, please. The book of Luke, chapter 5. This year, is this, Pastor Springer, is this the, I can't remember us not having a mission conference. Is this the first one that we just have a mission emphasis Sunday? I think for me, of coming here, it's the first time. But maybe you've done it before, I don't remember, but for me. So this is a mission emphasis Sunday. And I think the pastor is not going to pass out the faith promise cards, but you folks have been so faithful in giving. And you have worked so hard and been so faithful, we are going to stop missions and you don't have to give your faith promise any longer. What? No, absolutely not. I want to encourage you. Be faithful in giving. What you gave last year, what you promised last year. And I pray that it might even increase. And maybe your heart will increase. And your closeness and your relationship with God will increase. And I pray and I hope that that will take place this year. Here in the book of Luke, chapter 5, and verse 17, we read these words. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto them, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. Father, I thank you for your word. It is so powerful. And yet so many times I neglect it. I forget to realize the power of your word. It transforms our lives. It saves us. It encourages us. It rebukes us. It challenges us. It builds us. It directs us. It gives us a path to follow. And Lord, we've seen it work in our own lives. And Lord, we know that it can work in the lives of others. And so I ask that you would speak to our hearts this morning. Challenge us today to fear you, to love you, to serve you, and to press forward in what you have for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We might ask this question today, what can I do? And I'm sure that the disciples, as they were learning and walking with Jesus and seeing his miracles, they were amazed. I would be amazed, and so would you, if you saw that. And right before your eyes, and all of these people had heard about the fame of Christ, and they gathered in that place. And I could only imagine you and I sitting there and thinking and seeing this and thinking, what could I do? How could I do something for God? And I want to ask you this morning, what can we do? What can you do? What will you do for Christ this coming year? Maybe with the young people that are here, maybe God's been speaking to your heart about surrendering your life to him. You have a whole life to live for him. I can give witness and testimony of that. At the age of 18, I went off to Bible college and said, Lord, here am I, send me whatever you want from me. I give my life to you. And it wasn't long that God burdened our hearts about going to Mexico as missionaries. And we said, all right, God, man, we felt it a great privilege and a great honor and a great blessing that God would even allow us to do something like that. Today, people seem that it's a great chore to do that. And so we need young people, young couples, that will look at it that way and say, Lord, what can I do for you? And so God is training and teaching his disciples of what can take place in their life if they will allow it. What is our agenda? What is our goal? What are our desires in our lives? What do we look for? What are we working for? What is the end that we're searching for? I thought about the pandemic, and I thought about all of the issues. And again, as a missionary and living in other places and working in other places and visiting other countries, I thought to myself, wow, if all of the missionaries thought and had this great fear like we have in our country, no, what missionary would come forward and surrender his life to go to a place that's full of hepatitis and typhoid fever and malaria and all of these things? Well, none of them would do that. But we cannot live in that fear. And we have to say, God, I may die on the mission field. It may be that that's where I'll go to heaven from, but we cannot fear that. We have to place our lives in God's hands and say, God, we need your protection all along the way. And we do the same thing in giving of our faith promise. Lord, man, I'm without work right now, and I don't know what I'm going to do. How can I afford to do this? How can we afford not to do this? The same faith that saved us is the same faith that's going to sustain us day by day. And we must use that every day. I'm afraid that many Christians live in that faith that saved them and they leave it right there. They're saved, they're born again, they applied that faith to that, but they're not applying that faith to live for God every day and to grow in His grace. And so Jesus is teaching and showing His disciples and others about the gospel, this good news that we have. This good news that is described, we look over into the book of John. Turn with me to John chapter 1. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteneth every man that cometh into the world." Wow. Every man that cometh into the world sees some light. Missionary? You say, well, is there any missionaries here? If there were, and those that are listening, no matter how hard your field is, they may be 100% Buddhist, it doesn't matter. That light that gives light to men has come to those people that might practice Buddhism. And God's going to use you to win them. And so he says here, "He was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not." Someone said that's the saddest verse in the Bible. "Came unto his own and his own received him not. But as many," verse 11, "he came unto his own and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe in his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You know, those words that we've read hundreds of times, don't you feel the power of those words? Aren't they alive when we read those words? Now, if we just read them and not let it sink into our mind, into our heart, they're just words. But when we digest those words and realize that we're reading powerful words that gives light to every person on the face of the earth. In Mark chapter 2 and verse 2, the Bible says, "He preached the word unto them." All of those people that had gathered around. Why did he preach the word? Because he knew the power of God's word. He's not willing that any should perish. He went after you and he went after me and he went after this man because he wanted to show them, show us who he was and what he could do for us. We see this story here of this little square house with a flat roof. And the custom of the day were to leave those doors open during the day. And I thought about that as I read the history and the custom, and very similar to things that I experienced in Mexico. But I thought about the church. The church must be open. I love the name of this church, Open Door Baptist Church. The doors must be open because that's where people are going to hear the gospel. But I'm going to tell you, Satan's going to do everything that he can to spoil that, to stop that. And I'm hearing, as a missionary, as a preacher, I'm hearing constantly as I talk to preachers. Now, I understand. I'm not going to force anybody to come to church. I understand that. But I'm noticing a great fear in the lives of people. And they tell the pastor, "Pastor, we have no idea when we're going to come back. If we have no idea when we're going to come back, if we ever come back." Wow. That's amazing. That's not the design of the local church. That's why the church is essential. Because the design that God gave the church is not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Could you imagine that if we didn't come together because of diseases, that no church on the foreign field would ever come together? Because diseases are rampant in third world countries. Rampant. We always had a saying when we came home from church, before we ate, let's go home and wash off the fellowship. Wash your hands. You know, we always had to practice that. We just did. And there are things I could discuss, I wouldn't discuss here behind the pulpit, things that we knew. We had to practice certain things with our children as they grew up. And so you just learn and you pray and you say, "God, protect us. God, help us." So here we have the doors open, the place is full, and Jesus is preaching and teaching, and a great number of people have gathered into this place. But we find that there's a man who needs help. He has palsy. There's no way that he's going to get through the crowd. And there's four friends. I don't know if they were friends. I don't know if they just saw the need. I don't know. The Bible doesn't really tell us exactly about these four. But there were four that picked up his bed, carried him up on the roof, and started to take the roof apart so that they could let him down through the roof into the midst of those people. Now, you know, you have to smile and laugh when you read the scriptures, right? Now, can you imagine that if that was your house? And somebody gets up on the roof and he starts tearing the roof off. Now, that wouldn't be bad if you were going to re-shingle your house. And you want the old shingles off. Now, that might be a good thing. But they start tearing everything apart. And you're sitting there wondering, what in the world is going on? But for some reason, I think just Jesus' presence there and the look on his face gave a calm. Not to the wicked, but to those that he wanted to minister to, there was just something about it, right? Do you ever meet a super aggressive, super great salesman that wanted to sell you something? But you had never met a salesman like this salesman before in your life. And you were looking for a vehicle or some furniture or whatever it may be. But I'm going to tell you, this guy could sell anything. And before you know it, you're signing on the line. I mean, this guy has talked you into it. Now, the problem is he wants you to sign because he doesn't want you to leave and go home, because if you go home and you think about it, you probably won't buy it. But he wants that signature right then, and he convinced you and he talked you into it. Now, maybe you've never met anybody like that, but I've sold Melaleuca. I've sold all of the stuff that people have talked me into selling. A week later, I would say, "I don't want to do that anymore." But they could just talk me into it. I can imagine Jesus there. And just the look on his face, the calmness on his face, the authority that he presented, the words that came out of his mouth that were so powerful. I don't think anybody said anything about that roof being torn apart. I don't think they could say anything. So he preached to them the word. So I noticed some things about these fellows. Number one, first of all, they had faith that's compassionate. I hope that your faith is compassionate. When we lift up our eyes and we look unto the world, I hope that we see a lost world that needs our love and our help and our compassion. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Bible says, "I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others to prove the sincerity of your love. And so that love that Jesus presented was a very compassionate love. That's the love that you and I have for others. Now, when the church is united, if the church is fighting, bickering one with another, it's hard to love the world. Why would we love the world when we can't even love ourselves? But when there's harmony in the church, when there's unity in the church, when there's this love in the church, and I don't mean that everybody looks exactly like everybody else, because the church is a body of different parts, and we all are a little different. Our emotions, our attitude, the way we think, the things that we like, the things that we don't like. So you don't want a church that everybody likes the exact same thing. That's what makes up that body. And that's what draws other people outside into this body, because they see something in somebody's life that they need or they want to be like, and they come. And that makes the church grow. But if we all look alike, act alike, talk alike, fight alike, who would want to come into that? Nobody. And so Jesus was teaching his disciples. Not everybody's the same. All 12 of those disciples had a different personality. I mean, they were different. But they looked to Jesus. And so that faith that is compassionate, it is a lasting love. Received a phone call or a message through Facebook from one of the ladies in Ecuador. Been there a couple times, and she sent a message to me and my wife and said, "Pastor, please pray for me." And I remember this couple. I taught a family seminar in that church, little tiny church, and her husband was there. She said, "Pray for me. My husband ran off with another lady." And she said in that message, "Pray for me. I'm thinking about going back to the Catholic Church." Whoa. You see, that same salvation, that same love that you had when you trusted Christ is the same love that's going to sustain you during these hard times in life. Your answer is not run back to the Catholic Church. Your answer is to run faster to Jesus and embrace him and say, "Lord, help me." The church is not going to help you. The Catholic Church is not going to help you. This church may not be able to help you, but Jesus can help you when you run to him. And so faith that is compassionate. Then second of all, faith that is continuous. So we ask you to be faithful in your faith promise. Continue with it. Don't stop. Don't think, "Well, we're not having our big mission conference, so this is my time to bail out. This is my time that I'm not going to make a commitment, and I'm not going to sign, or I'm not going to fill out that commitment card, and so this gives me the opportunity because there's been some other things that I'd like to do with that money." Well, I'm glad that these four didn't stop, and they were continuing. Just because the place was full, how are we going to get this guy in? They said, "Well, we'll go up through the roof." I'm glad that they continued. And I'm glad, I think the man of palsy was glad that they continued. Because, see, he would have suffered the consequence. There'll be obstacles. There are always obstacles. But those obstacles did not stop them. Satan will do all that he can. I think Satan is working really strong today. I'm one of those, people may not agree with me, but I'm one of those that believe that Jesus is coming very soon. I know we don't know the day or the date. I understand that. But I feel it that we are very, very close. And one world government, it will happen. I won't be here. And I hope you won't be here. Now, the only reason you'd be here is if you're not saved. And so when you and I are gone, that one world government, it will not be hard for that government to be established. There'll be no one hindering them. You could be removed off of Facebook. You could be removed off of YouTube. But you're not keeping me here when Jesus comes. No matter what you think I have said or done, I'm gone. And you can have it. Matter of fact, title to my house, my car, you can have it all. I don't care. I'm not taking any of that with me. I have no desire to take any of that with me. And so faith that continues. So church, would you continue with your faith? And then faith that is courageous. Don't fear. Don't fear to fail. How many of you, raise your hand, if you have not failed at all in anything this last year? Raise your hand. Nobody could. Because we've all failed. But we're courageous to get on our knees and say, God, I failed you. Mother's Day the other day, I bought my wife 24 beautiful red roses. And she was surprised. I don't know. I travel. She knows I love her. I told her when we walked down the aisle, I told her I loved her. I don't know why she needs to hear that all the time. You know, I just don't understand that. But she does. Every once in a while needs to hear that. And she grabbed me. She said, honey, thank you so much. I didn't anticipate that. Now, that was almost a slap in the face. Because that meant I hadn't been doing my job very well in the past. Because it really surprised her. You see what I'm saying? So I need to do better. I've failed. I failed having a little fear when I shouldn't have. So all of us are failed. But we get on our knees and we say, Lord, help me to be courageous. Then the last two things. Faith is creative. Tearing down that ceiling. Do you think those Pharisees that were sitting in the front row, I think they had the front seat. Jesus probably wanted them because his word is powerful. They were probably sitting right there. Can you imagine all that stuff falling down on their head? And looking up and saying, what in the world is going on here? Hey, we were here first. Who do you think you are coming down? You know, wait in line. Get back in the line there. We were here first. Now, you and I would never say that. I hope we would never say that. I have sat in somebody's seat in a church, and they looked over me, and after about 2 or 3 minutes talking to them, I think I'm in their seat. And sure enough, when I got up, they sat right there. They wanted that seat. Okay. Faith that is creative. 2 Corinthians 10:15, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. And then faith that is cooperative. It took those four, and church, it takes our church to be successful in reaching this world with the gospel. We will never be able to, I've told you before, we will never be able to make up enough money to meet the need. We will never be able to do that. Never. But our faith can meet the need. And when we give that money to God, He multiplies it. And He extends it to the ends of the earth. So will you step up and say, what can I do? Like these four. So I'm going to do something for God. I'm going to continue in my faith. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Help us not to forget. Help us to step up and say, what can I do? And do something for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.